Welcome to the podcast at Life Community Church in Gilbert, Arizona. To learn more about our church, visit us at lifecommunityaz.com or join us on Sunday mornings at 10:30. I hope you enjoy today's message.
Three things I know about Christmas. We talked about this the other day. Three things I know about the light that I want to talk about. You know, if I ask you what day is Christmas, you would say when? December 25th. If I ask you what day Jesus was born, what would you say? Who knows? They sometime in the spring, probably. And the reason they say that is the shepherds were out in their fields at night. And the only time the shepherds were out in their field at night is when the sheep were giving birth. And the little lambs would be there. And so shepherds would be out there. So probably Jesus was born in the spring sometime. Anybody here have a spring birthday? Born in the spring? So you could just say Jesus was born on your birthday. There you go. You could just, anyway. And so what the Romans did, the Romans had this deal going, because in December 21st is the, for the Northern Hemisphere anyway, is the longest darkness that there is. There is a thing called seasonal affective disorder. Anybody ever heard of that? Anybody got it? It's when you are greatly affected by the seasons. There is over a million websites for people who suffer with this kind of syndrome, and you can go on, and there are a lot of people, you know, in the Seattle, Portland area, where it rains all the time, it's dark all the time. A lot of people get really, really depressed, and it really does affect them. And so so what the Romans did is the Romans had this way of saying, you know, the invincible sun's coming back. And so because people, even in Roman times, would get depressed because it's dark so long, they started a invincible Sunday, Day of the Sun. And so when Christianity got going in about 300 A.D., Constantine says, instead of just saying the invincible sun as an S-U-N, he said, why don't we go for the invincible sun, S-O-N, and that's where Christmas got started, December 25th. Anyway, and so John 1, 5, it's in your bulletin there. I want to read it to you. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. We live in kind of a scary world with a 24/7 news cycle that just goes all the time. You know, they've done studies, and people that are especially addicted to news and coverage like that also have, there's a link between high anxiety and people who watch a lot of news. So a lot of you news junkies, settle down, just settle. Because how many of you know everything's an alert? How many know there's, and it's good. I'm not knocking the Amber Alert. And I learned last night there are 53 million people facing terrible storms today. And it's things we can be concerned about. We're not worried about those, about the storms coming here. We don't have that kind of problem. But as you listen to it, there's on and on and on and on. And it's always terrible, and you're going to die, and it's rotten. You know why it's that way? Because that sells. Who's going to turn their TV away from that thing? And so the news, I always think it's neat, not neat, I think it's strange. I'm not a news junkie, but I do watch. And it's the breaking news. And every night at 5:30, ABC has breaking news. Isn't it amazing? It works that way every day. And it's never, things are a lot better than they used to be. It's always you're going to die and it's dark. And we get warning notices, and it's a kind of a false sense of involvement. But anyway, we like to hear it, and so we do. But things about the light. Number one, the light shines for all mankind, for all people. That's what I know about the light. It's for everybody. I had the blessing of being raised in church. My parents were pastors, my kids are pastors, and so it runs in the family. But I had a blessing, and I've heard a lot of people say to me, well, it must be nice because it's a generational thing. Your parents, your grandparents, and all that kind of stuff. And the truth of it is, Jesus came for everybody. So maybe you weren't raised in that kind of a tradition. It's not just for Jewish people, not just for religious people, not just for white people, not just for black, brown people. The light is for everybody. And that's what John said, the light comes, and it's the light of life, and it shines for every single person. All of us have different paths that we come to Christ with. You talk to people, and some of them just go through awful, terrible things. Other people, I tell you, well, I walked in when I was 6 years old and said, I need to get saved. What a wonderful thing. Not everybody with that, but God has got a path for each one of us. And whether you follow the six-year-old path or whether you waited a long time and really suffered some stuff, God has a path for you. And so the light of the gospel is for every single person. You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too this. You're not too that. And sometimes we feel like, well, you know, I'm not a church guy. I've done so much bad things. You know, when Jesus came to Peter, Peter says, Lord, go away from me. I'm not a church guy at all. I've done all kinds of stuff. And Jesus didn't even flinch. He said, Pete, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Whoa. So maybe that's you. Number two, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, for those of you that don't know, this was written by a guy by the name of John. He was the youngest of all the disciples. When he wrote this, he's in his 90s. He had seen lots of stuff come and go. John was there, really was probably around when Herod was killing babies, when baby Jesus was born. John was there when the Jesus they were following gets nailed to a cross and is crucified. You talk about your hope being gone. That's what happened. And then John is around when these different emperors would rise and kill Christians. He was there when Nero rose and killed his good friend Peter, killed his associate Paul, the apostle Paul. Nero killed all these guys. And one emperor after another would come into Jerusalem and do terrible, awful things to Jewish people and to Christians. And it seemed like they would just get them over and over and over again. Finally, an emperor comes through and he sees to John. He says, you like to be baptized? How about being baptized in hot oil? And John, this guy that wrote this, that says the light hasn't overcome the darkness, this guy says, baptized into hot oil, and they didn't kill him. They say it was done in an arena so everyone could see. And when that happened and he didn't die, the whole place gets saved. That's not exactly what Rome was counting on. So this same John, who had seen the atrocities, seen Masada. Matter of fact, we're putting together an Israel trip, and we're going to go to Masada. And it's one of the beautiful things over there. 906 people go to this mountaintop. It was Herod's summer home is what it really was. And so they went to the mountaintop to escape the Roman slaughter that was going on about 70 AD. And sure enough, they finally got to the top. And when they got there, these people had all killed themselves. Actually murdered one another because they didn't believe in suicide. But John was around when all that was happening. And this is the guy that says, the light still shining, boys. The darkness doesn't overcome it. It shines and it shines and it shines. And so the truth of it is, evil never does overcome good. Evil never does overcome good. Good always, eventually, will overcome evil. And that's what John is saying. He says the light, this light was the light of men, and it was for everybody, and shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overtake it. However the presidential election went for you, either good or terrible. If you were for Hillary, it's just awful. If you were for Donald Trump, it's just wonderful. And I hear people talking about how now God can do wonderful things. And the little story, Terry, my wife, she said, have you heard of this particular prophet person? And I said, no, never have. And so she told me his name, and I still hadn't heard of him. And so she says, she had a paper. She says, want to read this or shall I read it to you? And really, I'm thinking it's a paragraph. And I said, sure, honey, read it to me. And she pulled out this manuscript, several pages, single-spaced, and begins to read. And I said, You going to read all that? Yes, I am. And so it was somebody that had a prophecy about something, and now that God's going to do wonderful things in America, now that it's going to happen like it's going to happen. And so she says, what do you think? And I said, I think the light shines anyway. I think the light shines when it looks like it's so dark you can't stand it. And my hope is not in this guy or that lady who gets elected, but it's the light of Jesus that shines and keeps on shining. It goes through the conservative mess. It goes through the liberal mess. And the light of the gospel shines, and it shines into everybody for everyone. Don't let the darkness overtake you. Don't let what you see, because it's so depressing on occasion. One Christian leader after another going, messing up, and it can be so discouraging. Don't let the darkness overtake you. The light shines in dark. And another translation says, and the darkness does not comprehend it. See, when in the comprehend, it does, hasn't figured it out. If I said to a first grader, what's two and two? They would have to think, okay, two apples and two apples, that's one, two, three, four. And they would have to kind of work that through. If I ask you what two plus two is, you can just bing, pop it out, and there's four. Because you've mastered that. You've figured it out. And when John says the light shines in darkness, it says the darkness has not mastered it, has not conquered it, has not figured it out. So that whatever fine kind of place you find yourself today. See, for some folks, Christmas is not the most wonderful time of the year. Christmas can remind you, when you're shifting kids back and forth, of terrible mistakes you've made. Regrets that you live with. Some of the dysfunctions that some of us will face in this Christmas season, having to get with weird relatives you should never be a part of. Who knows what I'm talking about? And if you don't, maybe it's you. This could be the sermon for those people having to get with you this year. But see, it's not the most wonderful time for everybody. But the light shines in darkness. And so this season, let the light of Jesus shine in your heart, that you can see the hope of the gospel in all kinds of different circumstances, different settings. And last but not least, the light shines through you and me. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Pretty much everybody believes that. And that's probably why we're here, because Jesus is the light of the world. Watching the little kids do this adorable little program is good. And by the way, Scott, it's good to see you home from Israel. You're down at the Dead Sea. You probably see Masada. Been up there? It's unbelievable. We're coming to see you if you're still there. And Scott, excuse me while I have this conversation with him. He's been gone for months, 8 years, hasn't he? No, just since June, and works in Israel. Does high-tech things in Israel. Are you done? Oh, good. Well, you can go back with us. Anyway, you can go back for us with no pay. You know, that's. Anyway, what was I talking about? I know what I was talking. The light shines through you and me. We're all here because we believe Jesus is the light of the world. But then Jesus said something really interesting. He said, and you're the light of the world. I wouldn't ask you to repeat that because that would sound so strange to us. Of course, Jesus, you're the light of the world. But if you say that I'm the light of the world, it almost sounds blasphemous. Almost sounds like, what are you talking about? But Jesus said, as long as I'm in the world, I'm the light. But he says, I'm going away. And bud, you're going to be the light of the world. So Jesus said in Matthew 5, it says, let your light so shine before men that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father who's in heaven. The love of Jesus is designed to shine through us. These little kids up here this morning, do you know what kind of wonderful impact that has on them? They will remember the time they stood at Carnegie Hall and sang to hundreds of thousands of people. Because you know how it is when you're a little kid. Everything's magnified. We gave children a chance this morning to sing in a way in a manger and some songs to us, and that really will be things they will look back on. I've decided if you ever have trouble with your children behaving, bring them to church, put them on the stage, and they'll go silent. Last week, we were friends with an autistic academy, the people that run an autism school. And for years, they put on their little Christmas program, and it's a room about the size of a classroom, and all the little kids stand on one side, the parents stand on the other, and they do their little Christmas deal. And this year, we opened the auditorium to them for Wednesday and Thursday night and gave them a nice big stage, and it was absolutely wonderful. How does that happen? What does that mean? It means that people like you and I provide an activity. And we are the light of Jesus into those kids' world, giving experiences. Last Sunday night, Jamie mentioned it, Hope Kids, kids with terminal illnesses. Come, and the love of Jesus shines through it. You're bringing hundreds of cans of food. It's going to CPS this week. Gifts, that unbelievable gifts, are coming, are going to people that need. That is the love of God. We're the hands of God. We're the feet of God. We're the voice of God to give hope, to give encouragement, to tell somebody, you know, you're really going to make it. We're the heart of God. Jesus says, you're the light of the world. Are we perfect? Of course not. Do we have our flaws? Of course we do. See, in one sense, we're really not the light, but we are a reflection of the true light. That's why we're doing the candlelight service next Saturday night, 5 o'clock. We're going to sing some Christmas carols. I'm going to talk a little bit. And then we're going to take, you're going to light these candles, finally. I think we should light them every Sunday. Because candles surrounded by cotton balls, what could go wrong? Sure. But next Sunday, we're going to light them. And then we're going to pass them out. No surprise, we're going to cut all the lights, except the legal exit signs. Naturally, we'll leave those on. And then everything else is dark. And it's just a reflection of the light that started down here. Because that's what we are. And we'll hold our little candles high, and it'll illuminate this room. And that's what we are. We're the light of Jesus. Not just us, any believer. Churches all across America, home groups, cell groups, whatever, however you do that kind of thing, is that the light of Jesus shines and shows for all to see. And he's commissioned us to do that. We have the joy of doing that. So John wrote, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And nothing was made that wasn't made by him. And he is the light that lights every man into every person. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not able to extinguish it, to put it out. So that's how John starts his book and how he ends it. Let me read to you John chapter 20 and verse 30 and 31. Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you might have life in his name. He said, all this stuff was written that you could believe. And that by believing, you have life in his name. Life in his name has nothing to do with going to church more often, putting money in the collection, all that kind of, has nothing to do with any of that. Eternal life has everything to do with believing. And that's a choice we all have. The children are out. We're not a bunch of little kids here. You have a choice to believe. And that by believing, you'd have life in his name. I always say, guys, you don't have to buy the whole package. I've walked with Jesus for a while. And I used to believe things I don't believe anymore, and now I believe other things I used to not. I call it growth. I call it development. I'm not asking you to buy the whole load. What I'm asking you to do is put your faith in Christ, that he was the light of the world, and that he came, and that by believing, you could have life in his name, eternal life. Remember, as a younger person, we'd raise our hands or walk the aisle and meet prayer counselors down front. And all that's fine. You can do all that, but you can also do that right where you sit. You can open your life to Christ right where you sit. Say, Lord, I really do believe. Lord, I really do believe. Open your life to Jesus this morning. He'll come to you. He'll come inside. And he'll do wonderful things for you. And he'll take it from there. God knows what to do. See, some of us have never done that. I don't know what to do. What should I? Open your life to Christ. God will take over from there and take you where you need to be. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these people that are here that are watching me online. Father, this morning as we open our lives to you, as we say yes to you, Lord, some for the first time, some have never really thought about this kind of stuff before, some for the first time, and some that are saying yes, and it's been a long time since there's been any real dialogue, but Lord, here we are. And in this Christmas season, 2016, Lord, we once again open our lives to you. Bless, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.